ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته My brothers and sisters in the deen of Allah, I am delighted to be in your midst, and I beg Allah the Almighty, may He make the purpose of our being here tonight a blessed and acceptable one to Him. May it be an ibadah that Allah the Almighty accepts from you and me. May He guide us to the correct understanding of this subject matter, better than I can ever explain it. I beseech Allah the Almighty that He make us of the people of the Sunnah, not of the people of the Bid'ah. May He let us see the truth as the truth and make us firm upon it. May He make us see falsehood as nothing but falsehood and grant us the strength to distance ourselves from it in all forms. I wish to apologize profoundly for the headache I gave the planning committee yesterday. I knew I gave them a lot of headache. On a few occasions, I sent texts suggesting I might not be able to make it. When eventually I decided I would be able to make it, I told them to expect me to observe Isha prayer with you people. But it had been destined that I wouldn't be able to do that. So by the time we got into Ilorin, I was packed out completely, and I had to send a late message to them that I wouldn't be able to come to the campus last night. So I'm very sorry for the trouble each and every one of you took in expecting that the lecture would take place yesterday, which it didn't happen. So may Allah not deny you the reward of this jihad, and may He pardon me for that disappointment, please. The Khutbat al-Hajj, which I started my talk with right now, is so familiar to most of you that I will only interpret the last part of it, that in Khair al-Hadith Kitab Allah, the best of speech is that taken from the Book of Allah, the Quran. وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ The best of guidance in all matters is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What makes it so is the simple fact that unlike you and me, nothing he says or does comes from self-desire. In his own case, everything he says, everything he does is rightly guided by Allah. For this, Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى in huwa illa wahyun yuha. So whatever he did, Allah intended that to be an example for you to know how to do yours. So the best of guidance is truly the guidance of Muhammad. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. The worst of affairs, the worst of the affairs of a Muslim in particular. Alright? شَرُّ الْأُمُورِ. In the case of all humans, the worst of affairs is to be a kafir. Not to realize the oneness of Allah and the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the case of humans generally. But for you and me, whom Allah has granted the grace of realizing that Allah is one and Muhammad is his prophet, no evil can befall us on earth greater in the weight of Allah than to be upon bid'ah. وَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. For every act of innovation, of course, the Prophet means innovating into the deen, dhalala, is misguidance. And every act of misguidance leads ultimately ila nar, to hellfire. May Allah save you and me from being a member of hellfire in all ways. We beg Allah the Almighty that the message of this Khutbat al-Hajja does not escape our understanding. Of so importance was it that the Prophet used it repeatedly anytime he had cause to address a gathering. His sermons, his admonitions, so much so that we have authentic texts saying on an occasion a Meccan accosted him, having heard so much about him and the strange things he was introducing in the land, and said, Ya Muhammad, سَمِعْتُ أَنَّكَ مَجْنُونَ. I heard that you are mad. The Prophet started his answer by saying, إِنَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُ. He recited the Khutbat al-Hajja before he gave his response. This is why the scholars of the Sunnah say we should be of those who popularize the use of the Khutbat al-Hajja in our gatherings. As a matter of fact, some of our shuyukh, in particular Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, says it is one of the shi'ar of the Al-Qadifa al-Mansura. It is one of those things by which we know that a person belongs to the rightly guided party, the fortunate party, who want to speak, live and die upon the authentic Sunnah. And he used it against someone belonging to a theoretical group. On an occasion he had a debate and he said, one of the testimonies to the heresy of your group is the fact that as authentic as the Khutbat al-Hajja is, virtually all your followers don't start their speech with the Khutbat al-Hajja. They would rather say, the world is a small place in comparison with the earth. The life of the world is an Islam. If you keep it alive, you keep the world alive. These are truthful words, no doubt about it. But Muhammad knew these words. He chose the Khutbat al-Hajja. So, as Sheikh al-Albani says, that Sheikh of Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, drew our attention to the importance of Khutbat al-Hajja and found it to be authentic, that the Prophet always had his sermon with it, his admonition with it. It is sufficient for us to know it is the best to start your speech with. Why was he in the habit of always repeating Khutbat al-Hajja? The scholars call our attention to the fact that in it there is a strong warning against innovation, adding to the deen that Allah sent him with, and that the Prophet says it is the worst of all calamities that could ever befall a Muslim, to be an innovator. And this is why quite often he reminded them of this. We beg Allah the Almighty, may we be of the party in whom the message sinks and who help popularize the main message of this khutbah. The topic I've been asked to discuss is haqiqat al-bid'ah, the truth or the true nature of bid'ah, the authentic thing about the bid'ah. And for some time I wondered what approach I should give to the discussion. I've been told I have 1.5 hours to discuss it. I've chosen to note some basic principles by which I hope, inshallah, I'll be able to discuss the main gist of the topic, expecting at the end that your questions will call my attention to whatever I have not been able to discuss due to oversight. So I will not be able to do the kind of justice I would have loved to do if it were to be taken serially in sessions like we have in classroom, where you treat a topic elaborately, you move to the next one. I will have to touch the topics very briefly to give a general view about this subject matter, begging Allah that those of us who are literate in Arabic will be able to find texts to read to have deeper understanding of this matter. To start with, I have here some items I noted which I intend to elaborate on. The first is أقدم التصنيفات في أصول البدع. What are the available works on this topic of bid'ah? It is not common to see a book written specifically to treat the topic of bid'ah from its beginning to its end. Scholars of old have, in their writings, made references to principles suggesting how to identify the bid'ah and what constitutes it, how abominable it is, what should be our attitude to the people of bid'ah. But not many works had been devoted entirely to discussing bid'ah and bid'ah alone. So the book in my front here is called Ilmu Usul al-Bid'ah, the knowledge of the fundamentals or the fundamental principles of bid'ah. We are more used to usul al-fiqh as a branch of knowledge, not usul al-bid'ah. So the author, Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Halabi, went back into history to explain that it may be a new branch of knowledge when you consider writing a whole book on it, but its content has always been discussed in the books of writers long ago in small portions. He makes reference to Al-Imam Al-Shatibi, Al-Imam Abu Ishaq Musa Ibn Ibrahim Al-Shatibi, who lived in the Western Hemisphere when Allah permitted Muslims to extend the influence of Islam to the Western world. So Ghadnara was part of the old state of those days when Islam reigned there. So Abu Ishaq grew up there and he wrote his book Al-I'tisam on Bid'ah as perhaps one of the earliest books we find on this matter, entirely devoted to discussing Bid'ah. The author says, however, even though Abu Ishaq al-Shatibi, who lived around the 7th or 8th century of Islam, Hijra, even though Abu Ishaq wrote this book on Bid'ah, we have found very few scholars taken after him, like Sheikh Ali Mahfoum, who wrote Al-Ibda' fi Madari al-Ibtida', and a few others. But none of them referred to this branch of knowledge as Ilmu Usul al-Bid'ah. He said, the coinage of this terminology he traces back to a sheikh at Dubai, because in his sittings he discussed bid'ah quite often, and that he gathered a lot of his materials from his sittings with Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani. May Allah the Almighty be pleased with him and all people who died in the service to the Deen of Allah, and may he count us among those who died serving the Deen of Allah.